Okay, great. We're going to have a really neat session today, and we'll get that started right away. But we always start with any news from HMTRI or Washington. So, Glo, what you got for us?
Yeah, I talked to headquarters this morning. First, they wanted me to say that they are all looking forward to seeing everyone next week at the grantee meeting in Alexandria. And then she said that she wanted to start reminding people, and Mike and I have been doing this all along, people that are going to be, that are planning on applying for funding in FY17, to get started now with your labor market assessment, making connections with potential employers, and all those kinds of good things. They anticipate that the RFP will go out in the fall, and they want to make sure that everyone is up to date on their SAM registration. Even if you think you are up to date, you need to go out and double check. She said that they keep seeing people across all their different grant competitions that wait until they submit, which is often the deadline, to see if their SAM registration is up to date. And then when it's not, they can't submit their proposal, and so they are ineligible to apply. So if you plan to submit in FY17, please go out and check your SAM registration, make sure that it's up to date. The agenda for next week's meeting is set, and I sent that to all the people who have registered this week. We have a full 2 days of EPA office updates, OSHA training, grantee mentors given presentations on various topics that have to do with job training, and then per feedback from last year's meeting, a lot of those topics are going to be repeated in the afternoon. So since these are held as concurrent sessions, if you were unable to attend the topic in the morning, maybe you'll be able to attend that particular one in the afternoon. And then for the wrap-up session, we are planning on, I have asked everyone that's registered to send me a list of there are burning questions that they just have to have answered at this year's meeting. And I've gotten many, many questions. So even if you think that you have gotten the answer during the two-day meeting, a lot of times you'll get a different perspective because it will be EPA answering the questions. So anything you want to add to that, Mike?
Well, that's actually also a really good segue into the PLC. We have this PLC, and then we're going to have the annual meeting. We've got Labor Day coming up, so we're going to take a summer break. The next PLC will be on September 14th, so we're going to kind of take a little bit of a break. We've got the annual meeting next week, and then we got Labor Day after that, and then about a week after that on the 14th, and we'll be sending out reminders. But when we get into this next group of PLC sessions from September out through the end of November, we'll be talking a lot on the components that make up the a sustainable environmental workforce development job training program. So we'll be talking about all of those things that we need to be focusing on if you're a current grantee, what things you can do to tune up your program. If you're a re-upping grantee, things you may want to look at because things have gotten more difficult, more competition. If you're a prospective grantee or thinking of starting a program, it's really important to look at these things. And we'll be talking about what I call landmines, things you want to be careful you don't include or go off in the wrong direction, and things that you really need to focus on and things that take a lot of time to prepare. So we'll be doing that. And, of course, we're sending out post-session notes, which will have some announcements coming up and some resources that you may want to look at, like some grants and debarments webinars that will be coming up and how to access those. But those will all be in the post-session notes, which you'll get in the next couple of days that will summarize today's meeting. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of post-session notes, that reminds me, too, that at the all grantee meeting, there are notes taken at all these different sessions. So those notes are compiled at the end of the meeting and then sent out after we get back to the office. So if there's a session that you wanted to see or you wanted to attend and you weren't able to, there will be some notes to read on that.
Right.
And all of these resources will be uploaded to our Brownfields Toolbox website after we get back from the meeting.
Right, brownfields-toolbox.org. And you can go there anytime, even now, to see what we did last year. We got all of last year's presentations on there. Well, I'm going to get started right away because we got a great presentation. We talked in the past several PLCs about how to partner, who to partner with. And, of course, one of those very important partners is the WIB. And we often associate WIB with a governmental entity in a city. And there's been undergoing a lot of changes. And we've got some people we suggested partnering with the Youth Bill. We've got some that partner with the WIB. Sometimes the WIB submit their own grants. And, of course, the Workforce Investment Boards are in a transition, and we're going to talk about that today. With the new RIOLA legislation that was passed, the whole idea of workforce is changing and expanding. And the thing about it, while Department of Labor programs are federal and HHS are federal, a lot of these things come down to the state level and what your state does. And we admitted, in fact, last week we talked about WIBs that are stars and WIBs that are rocks. And some WIBs are great and very innovative and doing some wonderful things, and some that are just, they haven't transitioned yet, and they're still kind of sticking to the old way of doing things. So today we got Brian Foley and Jose Gavin, and they're going to talk about the Milwaukee WIB and what they're doing up there. And they've done some exciting things. And if you go to their website, they're getting funding from a lot of different sources and a lot of funding. So when you talk about leveraging, being innovative, doing some exciting things, I think of most of the WIBs that we've got running around out here in our Environmental Workforce Job Development Program. They've got some really good things going on. So with that, I'm just going to turn it over to Brian, and you could move from there.
Thank you, Michael. Good afternoon, everybody. Again, I am Brian Foley, and I have Jose Galvin on the line with me as well. We are actually the Workforce Investment Board for Milwaukee. That's where we started off from. That's who you guys know us probably as. But as the WIBs have changed to become Workforce Development Boards under the WIOA Act, we have all moved in a different direction. In Milwaukee specifically, our initiatives are sector-driven and employer-driven. So we have recently changed our name. So we are no longer the MAWIB or the Milwaukee Area Workforce Investment Board. We are Employ Milwaukee, trying to follow suit to what the intent of the new WIOA Act was, in that we would change from a WIB to a Workforce Development Board. I know there's some people online that are still from private industry councils, which originally were set up when the funding stream was Job Training Partnership Act, and as they transitioned to the Workforce Investment Act, at that point, you're kind of, in many cases, you dropped the pick and became WIBs, if that makes sense. And now under this new legislation, the WIOA, Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, we're moving to become Workforce Development Boards. So that's a bit of the history of how we have transitioned from one cycle to the next. I have been with this organization as it transitioned from the PIC to the WIB to the Workforce Development Board. So I've been here quite some time. I've been hired in 2000. I've been a part of the programming side, primarily at the youth level. But in everything, we kind of mix our batches and look at innovative ways to serve the community. Our EPA grant was really built out of existing leverage funds that we already had in place. We already had like a youth build grant. We created this Compete Milwaukee initiative, which is a transitional jobs program that can be any one of our five sector initiatives. And our five sector initiatives are construction, hospitality, healthcare, finance, and manufacturing. So what we have looked at in this EPA grant was to be an add-on to our existing Youth Build grant to help maybe support the Youth Build youth as they transition out of Youth Build, but they're not really ready for what we call Adult Build, which is still a lot of support services surrounded before they would get to Community Build. So there's a three-tier system of Youth Build, Adult Build, Community Build, and at the Community Build level, that's when they're kind of hired by a private sector employer. We have found that in all of these jobs, and I think most of you that are working in EPA or any of these funded programs, you cannot take somebody and turn them around in a six-month cycle or an eight-month cycle sometimes. There's more support. There's more layers to the onion when you start peeling the participants apart, finding out that, you know, we have transportation issues. We have to get licensed. We have to get GEDs. We have to get more support services surrounding them. So our vision has always been to utilize all parts of our house, whether it be youth side, adult side, the WIOA dollars, the
federal DOL dollars, other private dollars, municipal dollars, you know, you name it, we do it. We blend all of our funding together, leverage it across the board. This is Jose speaking, in case you didn't know the transition. But our goal is to, number one, diversify the funding of all our programs to provide a better overall organization, overall resource to all of them. And that way we're not, while all the restrictions are always there, at least it provides some flexibility saying, okay, well, EPA funding cycle is this time, then you have the DOL, American Apprenticeship cycle this time, we owe funding. It helps us provide a continuous program. We don't have any stop and goes unless it's a fixed stop and go, like graduation or progression to the next level. It all drives back to providing a quality, an employable-ready individual for what the industry needs. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the industry needs. Brian talked about our sectors, and what's unique for our Workforce Development Board is our sectors are employer-driven. What does that mean? Well, we have a construction industry advisory board, hospitality, healthcare, finance, and manufacturing. Those boards are comprised of actual employers or employer associations. On our construction side, our chair is the president, the board president of the Agency of Greater Milwaukee. We have the Sheet Metal Plumbers Mechanical Contract Association member there, a major road builder there, a major construction. So these are all actual employers on our boards. Same thing across hospitality, healthcare. So our approach has been sector-specific and employer-driven. What does that mean? Well, under the old train-and-pray model, which a lot of us went through, we were training people without necessarily a job attached at the end of it or without the employer commitment to the program. All of our programs nowadays must go through what we call the industry demand model. It must meet the industry demand and must meet what their requirements are. So anything that we do for our ITAs, our youth builds, whatever they be, they must provide a tangible effort, tangible result that mirrors what the industry demands. So for our community, Compete Milwaukee, we have all these certifications, all these trainings that all the individuals go through and complete. The reason why we pick those is those are what actual employers identified as necessary for entry level in their industry and beyond. So our goal is not just entry level, but also progression beyond there. As Brian said, the individuals that we're working with have a myriad of challenges, let's just use that word, and we all are familiar with those challenges. But again, the more you blend the funding, the more you can help meet and address those challenges. And when we meet those challenges, always with the end goal of meeting what the employer wants and needs. I mean, you have your essential skills, which is showing up to work on time, you know, being to work every day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And those are the things that we pride ourselves on working on. But in addition to that, it goes back to when they're done with whatever components, whatever training program they're doing, they're walking out there with a what we call a stackable credential, or industry recognized standard certificate, whatever you want to term it. So it makes their employability much more viable and sustainable.
And to that point, you know, I run the youth build model as well. And so you'll find some of the youth build participants that are ready to move quickly. And then there's others that aren't. So this using different funding streams, using your workforce development boards in your regions to kind of see what their sector initiatives are. When you build out and you try to find support for your programs, go to your workforce development boards. They exist. And you need to try to utilize, and this may sound a little weird, you may try to force their hand into supporting what you're doing, because it's the goal of the workforce development boards not to keep everything in-house. We want to support the community. We want to support the community initiatives, the small community-based operations that are trying to get their small little community change. You know, and I think if you look at the history of unemployment in cities our size, you know that we have a high unemployment rate. And Milwaukee has been known for that, and in particular in the African-American community. And it's something that, as a workforce development board, a WIB, a private industry council, we've been trying to address that my whole history here, which has been 16 years. And we are at a point now in our city where we have a huge construction initiative going on. We have, you know, a huge road construction going on. We have some major footprints in the city in Northwestern Mutual that it's going to change the landscape of what the city looks like. We have this big project around the
Milwaukee Bucks Arena, surrounding development, a streetcar going in. So we have all these private-public sector initiatives, and because all of them are within the city/county boundaries, and there's city-county funding tied to them, a lot of these initiatives, a lot of these projects also have a lot of workforce requirements. Which mandate, you know, a certain percentage of the hours must be provided by residents who meet either live in economic distressed areas or meet the economic distress, you know, situation. The old, I'm forgetting the name of it, but, you know, if you get free reduced lunch, the community block grant development initiatives, you know, all those wage requirements. So,
and then to add this, that's the large scale. And then the city itself, the foreclosure home rate in the city of Milwaukee, which leads us back to the EPA grant and how we're going in and we're tearing down homes that have been in the city for 60 years and
100
years. That's kind of the add-on to the EPA grant that supports some other initiatives that our organization is already, you know, we're always looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, but not forgetting that there are projects that need immediate fix and support from an EPA grant to train participants to go in and clean out get the HAZWOPER certificate so that they can go in and work on some of these homes, some of these old dilapidated buildings that have asbestos and they have, we need the lead bait, you know, lead abatement and all of that. It's all tied into a larger vision that we have for our board itself and the community that we serve.
And a lot of these EPA-funded projects, especially the brownfields, again, Brian said that a lot of the homes in our area are 60 to 100 years old, and Milwaukee, also being known for its poverty, is also known for its lead paint problem, which, you know, not to go off at a tangent, but some people say it's all correlates. But anyways, but it's also labor-intensive process. So all that remediation, identification, and all that is labor-intensive, and in most of our contractors' point of view, is also a low skill entryway to some of the other career pathways in the construction, which are, you know, journey level worker slash apprenticeship or above and beyond. So what we've done is leverage the misfortune of all these lead infested and asbestos infested homes and properties, and taking these individuals that otherwise don't have the necessary skills to be an apprentice or journey level worker, but at least, or have no idea what construction is about. So we start them off with a lot of these properties, which again are manually intensive, and get them involved in that. Our relationship with the City of Milwaukee is through the Housing Development Authority, HACM. They will provide us garages and homes that they have foreclosed because of a lot of reasons, to use those as our actual hands-on training component in youth build and community build. Get these people indoctrinated as to what it is to be on a construction site, what it is to work in cold weather, hot weather, you know, the importance of it. Provides them a slower pace at it so that when they actually walk on a real job site, they have the idea, the expectation, the knowledge of what it is to really work in a fast-paced environment. So this grant, this part of it, is a natural segue to the career pathway strategy that we're taking. We're not just focusing on the entry-level positions. We're looking on the positions beyond that. So we want people to not just get a job. We want them to get a family-sustaining career, a pathway, and an understanding as to, okay, this is dirty work, it's nasty work, it's physical work. Why do I want to do this? Well, here's the reason why. It leads you to this. It leads you to that. And if it's something that you're not really interested in, at least you have the work history and it can transition over into manufacturing in some case. So we get some people that fluctuate from construction to manufacturing and vice versa.
A lot of what we do, we tie back, because this is a big union city, we connect with the Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership, WRTP, which has all the connections to all of the
construction
manufacturing initiatives that are going on in the city of Milwaukee. So there's thought behind everything that we try to do. The execution is where we always, and I think anybody on the phone line can say that becomes the issue sometime is, you know, you get somebody ready and then they're not ready. You know, you think they're ready and they're really not. So that's why we try to leverage so many dollars around them to make sure that when we put them on a construction work site at the private sector level, that they're not going to fail. You know, and if we need to support them more in some other funding stream, that's what we're going to do. Milwaukee is unique in that EPA has been supporting the city of Milwaukee. I think of the city of Milwaukee, who we work closely with. You know, our mayor appoints our board and our CEO, so we have a strong relationship with our city. And there's another initiative in the city of Milwaukee as well that used to be a part of one of the community-based organizations. So I think there's three EPA grants that are all going on kind of at the same time within the heart of the city of Milwaukee. It's that.
Now, at the end of the day, what we serve as is we serve as that centralized link, that clearinghouse. We have all these silos. So we have our partners, North Cobb Community Center, Milwaukee Christian Center, WRTV Big Set, the city.
Hackham. Housing Authority of the City of Milwaukee.
SDC. There's so many organizations out there that have so many different messages. What we have worked on to develop and have been relatively successful about is trying to be that centralized link of getting everybody on the same page, also realizing that, yeah, we're all competing, but instead of competing as individuals, why don't we compete as a consortium, as a group? And if you want us to be the leader on that, we'll be the leader on that. If you want us to be a partner in that, the supporter in that, we'll be a partner in that. So that's one of the things that Brian alluded to, that trying to change the playing field or re-engage partners in and not make it such a dog-eat-dog world, make it more of, strength in numbers, the old village proverb. You know, it doesn't take one, it takes a village to raise. Well, we're taking the same approach with all of our organizations. Instead of being siloed about it, we're being strategic about it and aligning those partnerships and providing a centralized link so that the urban leagues, the Northcotts, the Christian centers can still go for their funding and on other things that we can't do, but then they have their funding and they can leverage that with our WIOA dollars, our DOL dollars, our EPA dollars. Again, taking that small pot and growing it with, you know, 10,000 here, 10,000 there, next thing you know, you got $1 million.
And a lot of what we do is the contract compliance stuff. So, you know, the smaller community-based organizations can focus more on the day-to-day operations. And we do more of the administrative end and reporting out to the funding streams. They report to us, and then we report to the federal government or the DOL, the city, the state dollars, whoever it would be. So, sometimes you can free them up to just focus one-on-one with the participant. You know, and they're not doing all the administrative and stuff that we can help them with in being the lead on the grant, and you're our sub-grantee, you know. So that's why I would say, for those of you that are out there listening that have not worked with your workforce development boards, your workforce investment boards, I don't know what they are in your community yet, but they're all supposed to be changing towards the Workforce Development Board. And if I'll be in Virginia next week, and a lot of what I'm going to talk about is our advisory board, a lot of what we just talked about today, and I'm going to show you how to find your board so they can support you.
And for those of you that are actual WIBs, Workforce Development Boards on the line, again, if you're interested in learning how we engage our employers and how we came about to do an employer-driven model, we'll provide some of that context as well, but also feel free to reach out to us on an individual basis if you want to directly. But again, I can't harp on the aspect of we have all these programs and all this funding. But if that funding, those programs aren't aligned with what the industry needs are, and i.e. a job, in essence, we're just spending money for the sake of spending money. And that's one thing that here at Employ Milwaukee that we pride ourselves in, that our trainings lead to employment. There is an employer buying, an employer linkage. Is it a one-to-one ratio? Unfortunately, no, but we're slowly working the way to get our way there so that if someone goes through a training, that there's a job guarantee at the end of the job. We can guarantee a job interview in all cases. As far as an actual job placement, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're starting to get, and that goes back to having the employer buy-in, having the industry buy-in and making those trainings fit their needs and having them be part of that process. All of our training programs now are going to start going through our each industry advisory board for a vetting process. So from this point forward, in the construction industry as an example, if there are any new construction geared programs, such as Youth Build or whatever, from this year, from this point forward, they're going to go before that industry advisory board to present themselves and sell their merits and state how they meet the industry needs and vice versa. They get that buy-in, that industry stamp of approval ahead of time. And then from there, we'll work with the industry advisory board to find those employers. And the selling point is, hey, I'm with the AGC. I'm with Plumbing Sheet Metal Mechanical Contracts Association. I am a major road builder, whatever it is. And, you know, we hired people from these programs because they meet our needs and vice versa.
Brian and Jose, you've got
a real... Yeah, you
got
to tell us to stop talking because both will talk forever.
Oh, no, this is awesome. And I'm really looking forward to your presentation because this is the direction of workforce development boards. But what's really neat is you're kind of this juggernaut and you're bringing in a lot of people. And I want to try to understand is, okay, we're bringing in, you've got lots of people coming in that need work and that, and I assume that you're running them through a different screening process, what you're most interested in, construction, hospitality, whatever, health and safety. So then you run them in, and of course, regarding this environmental program, you might be running them to construction, and maybe you could correct me as I visualize it. You've got a guy and he's got a job and he's really interested in kind of like construction type, maybe environmental. So you're running him through that construction, maybe a youth build or an adult build or community build. Once it gets in there, then do you do what Art does? He kind of, as the program goes on, you might say, are you interested in doing some asbestos and lead remediation or getting these extra credentials and then push him into the environmental courses? Is that correct, or how you do that?
That is correct. I mean, so, you know, in Milwaukee, our workforce board, our workforce development board, you know, we are a one-stop shop, I would say. I mean, we have a youth services side. We have an administrative adult kind of in the middle of the building, and then we have the hire center that works with dislocated workers. There's a resource center there. There's So if somebody comes in just off the street and they're looking for something, we try to assess them as best we can, find out what their needs are, and then send them to exactly what you were talking about, Michael. I mean, if they meet the qualifications for youth build, we're going to try to get them into youth build to get some, you know, some meat in on their bones before we get them into adult builds. If they're ready for adult builds, we'll put them there. And then those that really have the initiative, we're going to get those certifications and support them so that eventually they come to community builds, which is our, you know, our private sector. Now, we're, you know, it's like stages of holding a little kid's hand. You know, you're really holding it in infancy at the youth build side, and then at adult builds, you're kind of letting them go a little bit. But even at community builds, we're supporting them. We're just not holding their hands anymore, you know?
Right. Now, are all your environmental guys who have the HAZWOP and the seven credentials or whatever, have they all gone through some kind of construction training and decided they want to do more than that and go into environmental?
Actually, it's all incorporated together.
Oh, okay.
It's all incorporated together. So you don't have to have a driver's license to get your lead and asbestos HAZWOPer, number one. Okay. So you could be getting your driver's license recovery assistance from one of our other partners and still participate in this program. But at the end of the day, when you complete this program, you're going to walk out with the HAZWOPer, with the OSHA, the mold moisture, lead and asbestos, yada, yada, yada. And you're also going to be doing the hands-on component as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the youth build part of it. Once you complete the youth build part of it, you transition to community build. And community build...
Well, actually, that youth build doesn't do all of those things. It really happens after kind of youth build, where we're, some of the youth build people might be getting some of those certificates, but
yeah.
it really happens kind of after youth build, where now we're going to, at the youth build level, we're using the Home Builder Institute pre-apprenticeship pack training. So we're getting some their feet wet a little bit, supporting them with that certification. Those that are really showing an initiative, will track them towards this adult builds model. Some may not even want it anymore, find out that they're really not interested in construction. It's not what they thought it was going to be. So our youth build model is actually a construction plus model, and we might steer them towards manufacturing, get them a taste of what that might be. Or we're writing for a new grant right now that might include hospitality, like ServSafe, if they want to go into the food service industry. So we're trying to serve their needs as we're figuring it out together. You know?
Yeah, so you're kind of screening as you go, which is really neat. And it's kind of like our Cypress Mandela, except you've got other things. If they get disillusioned in construction and environmental, you could shoot them off into one of the other four sectors and have them get some retraining in another sector. But if they're really into getting into the environment, you could start giving them the asbestos and lead and all of these certs that they need to get some good jobs in environmental.
Exactly.
It's a great one. Great. Does anyone have any questions? You know, we try to keep, we could talk to them for an hour or two, but we try to limit these to a half hour. So anyone have any questions of Brian or Jose? We'll be able to get a chance to talk to them there. Yes.
Yes, yeah, I hope
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just hoping, I wonder if I could set up a meeting with Brian and Jose. I'm from the Milwaukee area. I'm a trainer, safety trainer. And actually, I met you real quick, Brian, down at NorthCat last year. And I'm trying to partner with some of these organizations to do some of these training. So I was wondering if anyway, I don't know, after this, whatever, if I could kind of set up a meeting with you and talk with you and Jose about how this is all going on.
Sure.
Yeah, no worries.
I'll put their contact information in post-session notes. So did you get an invite? If you got a notice of this, you'll get the post-session notes and they'll have their contact information. And we always ask our grantees, presenters, if they're willing to talk to people about stuff. So we'll take care of that.
And that's another thing that I might bring into the Virginia area is that, you know, I did a presentation for the Youth Build Project at one of our peer-to-peers about how do you get on the ITA list, you know, to whoever was speaking earlier. You know, a lot of what the individual training accounts that we have to, you know, we kind of have to work with who we've made the connection to, you know, when we start talking about partnerships. So there is a way to get on those ITA lists so that the community partners can go to that individual training account list and say, okay, you exist. I'm going to see what your services are all about.
We'll go into more detail when we meet face to face.
Good. There was another question?
I have a question. I think Brian kind of mentioned it just recently, just now, actually. But he did say earlier, I think it was Brian, it could have been Jose, but one of you all mentioned about forcing their hand, and I know you're going to give a presentation next week, but can you briefly tell me, so if I'm a small organization, how do I force their hand? What is the first step for me?
Well, you know, they, workforce boards have to present a five-year plan. We are nonprofits. We have to, they can't stand alone. You know, the purpose of what we do is to serve the community, first and foremost, you know, and we do that through partnerships. So if your workforce boards are not looking to align, if their sector initiative, their five-year plan aligns with what you're doing, you know, somebody should be talking to you. You know, they may, if they're not, they're not serving your community, is my opinion. But, you know, and I could be wrong because I'm a program guy. And
it might just be that they're not aware of you as well. There's a lot of times that we will both be approached by organizations that want to work with us that don't know anything about us as well. And some understand and are ready to work with us. Others might need to take a few additional steps to get to where they need to get. We don't actually do the training. We partner with other organizations to do that training. However, though, if you're doing a great job and you have that proven track record and or you have an employer you're already working with, those are things that you need to use to your benefit, to your advantage when selling yourself.
Yeah, because, I don't know how all the boards work all over the United States, but they are there. They have, they're getting federal and state dollars to support their workforce development initiatives in their communities. And, you just kind of got to knock down their door a little bit and get to the right person and say, this is what I'm doing and this is where I see my vision going. I want to go after this grant, but I need your support. I need you to sign on with me and give me the opportunity to partner with you,
That's right. The fortunate communities are ones where Workforce Investment Board are enlightened and want to get involved, or they have a youth build program or they're supporting one. And the trick is to get as high up and find out from their websites what they're doing more than just one stops. And so you find out what they're doing and how they're supporting people, and then try to get as high up on the ladder as you can and say, we're interested in this. And are you interested in this area? Or does this fit into some of your programs? And you've got to hit high enough up so they're just not blown off and said, well, we don't do that. We're just doing this. We just have our one stop.
And do your research, too. I mean, what their five-year plan is about. If their five-year plan aligns with what you're doing, it should – you've gone in there knowing that, hey, this is what you're already doing, and I'm trying to get support in doing the same thing.
Yeah. And, of course, the higher up you can hit, the better off you can be. If you get to the mayor's office, higher in government you can get on the local level, the more likely you might get an introduction to the people who would be interested in working with you.
Yeah, the boots on the ground people.
And in some instances, though, you may not be able to work with the Workforce Development Board directly, but indirectly you do it through one of your other partners as well. That's what let's be honest, we can't fund everybody and anybody that comes through our door, nor should we. Sometimes it may be a partnership, a collaborative effort between a couple of community-based organizations that we fund that way as well. So you might want to look at it that way as well.
Well, we're looking forward to discussing all these issues next week. And then, of course, once we start up again on the 14th, we'll revisit that. This is an important issue because you go where the money is, and certainly the WIOLA has got money. Department of Labor has money, and the trick is how to partner and work with them in addition to all the other efforts you do. You guys have been great, and I'm going to include your contact information so people could contact you directly, email you or call you and see what's going on. And we're looking forward to talking to you about in more detail because this is a transition with WIOLA, and I think you're far ahead of many states. So I think you've got a lot to contribute to us get with your experience.
And if there's more topics or interests that you have or things that you think you would like more input on or feedback on, let us know. We have a CAM presentation. However, if there's specific things that you want to delve into, and the time allows, we may be able to incorporate in that time frame or a different time frame. But
you guys did great.
As granular as you want with us.
You guys did great, and maybe in the fall when we get closer to the RFP time, we can have you back on talking about getting that WIOLA and Workforce Development Board into your proposal, no matter whether you're with a WIB or not. So that'd be great.
Okay.
Well, Well, thanks, everybody. And, again, we'll see you on the 14th if we don't see you next week. And thanks, Brian Jose. It was awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Okay.